Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A Florida woman apparently woke up with a palmetto bug in her ear. A palmetto bug is essentially a flying cockroach. Oh.
I hate those effing things.
Oh, my gosh.
Katie Holly's gruesome experience happened in the early morning hours of April 14th. Soon after, her sister-in-law, who works as an editor for Self Magazine, asked her to pen an essay about it. And she did, in frightening, gut-churning detail that's made thousands of people across the nation wonder if they should sleep with earplugs. She said, I need therapy for a lot of reasons, but this experience blows all of those other reasons out of the water. Holly has lived in Florida since 1995, which means she's seen her fair share of palmetto bugs, which are brown, ubiquitous, and can grow to an inch and a half long or more.
Oh, my God.
And it doesn't matter how clean your home is, Kathy. It's almost a given that every building has one or more, and they come out at night.
I effing hate them. What I hate about them, too, amongst the other things like the wings, is that they have these long antennae.
Wait, what's the bug called?
Palmetto
bug. Flying cockroach.
She said, when I woke up with this weird feeling, I didn't know what it was. But 30 seconds later, stumbling to the bathroom, I knew there was something in my ear. Holly's next several hours were the stuff of horror movies.
Are you going to the bathroom?
She gingerly put a cotton swab in her ear and fished out two legs. Her husband located the thickest part of the roach that was visible and tried to extract it to no avail. The bug wriggled in her ear on the trip to the hospital. Once there, a doctor poured lidocaine in her ear and the insect died. A doctor removed three chunks, but that wasn't all. Nine days later, Holly still had lingering discomfort and hearing loss, so she went to her family doctor. She said, my physician proceeded to remove the leg and flush my ear again, only to examine it and see even more remnants. She ended up pulling out six more pieces of the roach's carcass 9 days after the incident took place.
That's how big this freaking thing was in her ear.
But here's the bad news. She said the doctor said this may be upsetting to many people, but it's a pretty common thing. At Tampa General Hospital.
Florida.
They get a dozen or so cases a year. The doctor said there are probably not a lot of preventative things you can do. In Florida, it's really hard because we all have bugs in our house no matter how many times you spray. In fact, Holly said she and her husband had hired an exterminator about a week before the incident.
Well, it didn't work.
Oh, my God.
But she got it out.
Well, Kathy, wouldn't you just kill yourself?
Pretty much. Yeah, I would
sit in the garage with the car running.
I think I would have a heart attack.
Yeah.
I would contemplate sleeping with plugs in my ears.
Earplugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, but I have to hear the alarm clock go off.
I currently sleep with a butt plug, so just in case.
There's a lot of holes.
There's a lot of holes to plug.
Yep. A former stripper received the tip of a lifetime when she received a six-figure inheritance from a former client and friend whom she'd met only months before his death. Veronica Beckham met the former HBO executive Mickey Lou back in July 2014 at Atlantic City Scores Strip Club.
Ah, and they struck up a friendship.
They soon became friends, according to Beckham.
Who
described the relationship they had as an everlasting friendship in court documents. But Lou, who suffered from diabetes and heart disease related to being obese, died less than a year later at the age of 50. Despite knowing each other for such a brief time, Lou obviously felt the same way about their relationship as he named her, Beckham, the beneficiary of his retirement accounts and a life insurance policy worth a combined $223,000.
And I bet you his family was just thrilled.
Well, they weren't too happy with his leaving his inheritance to a former exotic dancer. Mickey's sister May challenged the inheritance in court, suggesting that Beckham, as a professional exotic dancer, was adept at applying and using coercion and manipulation upon men.
Where do they get that from?
May also claimed that Beckham preyed upon Mickey Lou's vulnerability by exerting influence over him in the form of moral coercion.
Touched his junk is what that translates to.
But despite May's attempts to block Beckham from inheriting her brother's inheritance, the courts ruled that Beckham was entitled to the money and only former girlfriends of Mickey could sue for the funds.
Did she have prior knowledge to being a beneficiary of his
estate? According to Beckham, however, her and Mickey's everlasting friendship was strictly platonic. No sexual relationship ever existed between the pair. As for her plans with the money, Beckham has started a new career as a fashion designer and stylist to the stars, and has denied claims that she's a gold digger, calling the lurid accusations untrue. Hey, man, rock on.
You earned it.
And the guy, that's what he wanted his money.
That's where he left it.
That's where he wanted his money to go.
And I'm sure the family has come to terms with that.
Yeah, exactly. An Ohio man who flew to Palm Beach County in order to smoke a joint with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago ended up under arrest instead. 27-year-old Tyler John Marone of Columbus, Ohio, arrived at the Palm Beach International Airport April 18th, the same day that the president was hosting Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo.
And he wouldn't take a few minutes to go smoke a doob with this guy?
Abe in Palm Beach. Marone said that he found a credit card that he thought was a gift from God. So he said, I bought myself a plane ticket to go to Florida to see the president.
Wait, so when you find a credit card, it's pretty much up to you to spend as much as you want?
That's what he thought God was.
God wanted him to do.
Yeah. So Marone intended to drive to Mar-a-Lago, walk in and talk to Mr. Trump about the, quote, static and frequency feedback that I constantly hear emanating from my basement and from fans and in my head.
God wants us to do it.
He wanted to figure out what they were saying. So Marone also admitted that he had been kicked out of the Supreme Court building in Ohio, as well as several courthouses. It was decided that
he wanted to do hot yoga with Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
It was decided that Marone met criteria for the Baker Act, which allows for an individual to be involuntarily committed.
He probably thought it means to get baked.
An investigator said while checking Marone's bag, a white substance was discovered that later tested positive for methamphetamine.
I don't know. He might have some mental problems.
Well, maybe.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
A kid named Trenton McKinley defied all odds after the 13-year-old boy was severely injured in a dune buggy accident. His parents made the difficult decision to donate his organs following days of him being what they said was brain dead.
Yeah.
But after the papers were signed, he miraculously regained consciousness.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the incident happened 2 months ago when McKinley was playing at a friend's house in Alabama while the teen was riding in a small utility trailer being pulled by a dune buggy. His friend suddenly hit the brakes, caused the trailer to flip. He said, I hit the concrete and the trailer landed on top of my head. After that, I don't remember anything. His mother, Jennifer, told the outlet, the Fox outlet, that her son had been dead for 15 minutes when she arrived at USA Medical Center in Mobile.
Oh, my God.
I think maybe brain dead.
Yeah.
But all I saw was a stretcher with his feet hanging out. He was dead a total of 15 minutes, she said, adding that doctors prepared her for the worst. When he came back, they said he would never be normal again. Well, maybe he was. Maybe his heart stopped for that long. I'm not sure. She said they told me the oxidation problems would be so bad to his brain that he would be a vegetable if he even made it. After days of being brain dead, McKinley's parents decided to donate his organs to five children in need that were a match for the teen. She said the next time that his heart stopped, they had to let him die, and that was Saturday, or I could sign a paper and donate his organs to save five other kids. And they would keep hitting him with adrenaline till Monday. So I signed it. The next day I got a call. They canceled the final brainwave test right before they hooked him up. His hand moved, then his feet. So they looked at his eyes and they were back. He had blue eyes and now they're green with a small white specks. So she said it's a miracle. However, McKinley began showing signs of brain activity just one day before the doctors were set to take him off life support.
That's amazing.
McKinley suffered multiple skull fractures as well as kidney failure due to the lack of oxygen after his cardiac arrest, and he continues to suffer from nerve pain and seizures every day, but he's keeping a positive attitude, and dude survived. That's amazing. In Massachusetts, a man who stopped his car in traffic and climbed onto the roof of a school bus on the Mass Pike claims that he just wanted to make sure everyone on board was okay.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, Kevin Crow said, I wanted to make sure that the passengers of the bus were safe. I looked through the front windshield because that was the only window which was not tinted.
You guys all good in there?
Crow, who is 42, has been summoned to appear in court on charges of disorderly conduct.
For protecting children?
The bizarre incident, which was captured on the bus dash cam, happened as other motorists were passing by at about 7:45 p.m. Crow could be seen stopping in the middle of the travel lane, forcing the school bus traveling behind him to stop. He then proceeded to get out of his car and tried to gain access to the bus, only to be denied entry by the driver, Joe Rizzoli.
Well, excuse me for caring.
When the bus driver attempted to drive away, Crow walked in front of the bus, jumped on the hood, and started yelling at the driver. Rizzoli said Crow yelled at him, "Why are your windows dark?"
Good question.
After confirming everyone on the bus was all right, he said, I allowed the bus driver to proceed down the highway.
Proceed.
That is what happened, and that is why it happened. There were no students on the bus at the time, but
here's this good completely insane wow. Samaritan.
Yes.
Bizarre.
Jumping on the hood.
Jumping on the hood to make sure to correct the overly tinted windows.
Uh-huh.
In the middle of a highway.
You know, wow. Some people don't use the word hero enough.
They don't use it enough. Or imbecile. Or yeah. together often.
Right, right. Here's a great story. Colorado police ticketed a Denver woman for allegedly damaging a 7-Eleven microwave by heating up urine inside of it, which caused it to explode.
Yeah. Piping hot piss is really, it's really good.
Angelique Sanchez was issued a summons for damaged property.
Was she attempting to filter out impurities? Or?
No, not that. So the microwave is reportedly worth about $500. So a police report shows Sanchez left the 7-Eleven after the incident, was found waiting at a nearby health clinic for a physical and urinalysis for a future job. Now, here's why she did it, though. Medic experts say that during a drug test, urine is checked to ensure that it is at body temperature, yes. not room temperature.
Ah.
So it wasn't her pee.
Yep.
So she,
and there
she was trying,
you go.
She was trying to warm it up to make it seem as if it had come out of her body.
Excuse me, I want to heat up this taco and my piss.
This is one way of telling if the urine sample was actually given at the time of the test. So the police report shows the 7-Eleven clerk called police on Sanchez after hearing a loud bang a few seconds after Sanchez placed something in the microwave.
Oh, man.
The clerk told police Sanchez looked at the microwave and walked out the door, and then the clerk noticed yellow liquid dripping from the microwave, and the smell was unquestionably urine.
Dear God.
The police report shows the employee asked Sanchez to clean up the mess. Sanchez reportedly told police that she had cleaned up the mess and did not understand what the problem was.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I'll use those to heat up pretzels.
Yeah. By the way, she's been arrested several times and convicted of theft.
Yeah, she may want to reconsider where her life has taken her.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.